ओम शांति। Daddy's been taking up the subject that Baba's taken up this year in practically every Avyakt Murali of the season. Baba has spoken of follow the Father, right? Nearly every Murali of the season. And of course Daddy picks up on Baba's signals and Daddy does the same. She picks the same topics. And in the last Murali, Baba spoke about the 10 steps of following in the Father's footsteps. And then Baba specifically mentioned 3. And then of course there can be all the other 7. But the 3 that Baba spoke of: renunciation and tapasya and service. And even if we were to look at the qualifications of teachers, and sometimes we've done that, then surely these 3 things would be very, very high up on our list. And so in terms of renunciation, where do I stand within that? And maybe the renunciation of the attractions of the world wasn't so difficult for Brahmins, because many Brahmins must have told me that they felt that things weren't quite right with the world, and so maybe they already had that spirit of renunciation that we're not interested. Or maybe they were enjoying the things of the world and then something happened and they realized that there isn't the sweetness in those things that they thought there was, and so then they let go of that. But I'm thinking now more of the subtle renunciations that Baba's been telling us about in recent times. And one is the renunciation of preference. I like or I don't like. Just think about the list of things that you still say I like or I don't like in terms of preferences in Brahmin life. Whether it's food, I like or I don't like. And we don't think that's a big deal. We think that's, well, you know, that's normal. I like sweet things, I like chocolate, or I don't like sweet things, I don't like chocolate. Very simple example. But you can see how it's a very common expression that we use and we don't think a big deal of it. And yet I remember the story that I've heard about Mama, that when Mama was served some food and she would remember Baba and she would eat it. And afterwards another sister would taste the food and say, "But Mama, they forgot to put the salt in it and you didn't even comment on it." And Mama would have eaten it without any change in her facial expression at all. Didn't matter whether there was salt or whether they'd forgotten to put in the salt, or maybe they put in too much salt. And nothing was visible from Mama's face at all. And so just one very simple indication of actually being able to go beyond the pull of the physical senses, because that's what it is. My taste buds, I like, I don't like. And even in terms of health, what I've seen is that the dadis, for a short time maybe, they'll say that, yes, I have to have this special diet, but after a little while, they'll get back into whatever is the normal food of the yagya. So not even a question of, because of my health, I want or I don't want. And so that quality of renunciation, in which my taste buds don't pull me at all, that's one very simple example of renunciation. Another aspect of renunciation, or this aspect of like and dislike, I'll share a room with this person, but I don't want to share a room with this person. Or even, I'll share a room, but I really don't want to share a room. And so again, my likes and my dislikes. And the people we call the dadis today, I saw their rooms in Kunj Bhavan, and so in Karachi, in the days of Karachi. And you know their background, they came from very, very comfortable homes, all of them. And today Baba said, you've done good karma, you're going to get birth in a good home. And so I think all of them came from very comfortable homes. And yet, you know how many slept together in a room? 20. 20, and in some rooms, 12. And the space between each bed was this much. And you know how much space they had to keep their personal things? One shelf. Not one cupboard. One shelf. Now you can see what is meant by renunciation, if you think about that. And then you can see what is it that we say or we want. And even in terms of health, Baba gave Dadi Janki the task of being the nurse, and the slight thought crossed her mind, but I've had pneumonia, I've had TB, I've had all of these things, and then Baba's asking me to look after the people who are sick when my own body is so fragile. And she didn't even say the words. The thought just crossed her mind, and Mama looked at her, and Mama picked it up. And Mama's comment, if Baba has given a task, Baba will give the power to be able to fulfill the task. No further thought. And then I saw the stairs that she had to climb to be able to go up to the top, because the only hot water was downstairs, and it was a steep flight of two flights of stairs that she had to carry a pail of hot water. And in those days you didn't have plastic buckets, you had metal buckets. And she did it. And of course the immediate benefit of what she did, that she came very close to Baba, because Baba was personally involved in all the patients and what was going on with the patients. And so she had access to all the secrets of karma that Baba wanted to explain. When it was the mind impacting the body, Baba would tell her. And when it was the body that needed to have more encouragement with the mind, Baba would tell her. So her understanding of all the secrets of mind, body, body, mind interaction, all of that came directly, personally from Baba as her teacher, because she said yes to the role of being the nurse. And so, where am I within all of this? My preferences. What are my preferences? Do I say, I prefer this? My yoga will be good only if this, 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 and this, and this is in place? or I'll be able to do service only if this, 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 and this, and this is in place? Or am I ready to say, yes, Baba, Ji Baba? And there was a beautiful statement that Baba has said to Dadi many times, and that is, because you have always said yes to Baba, Baba always says yes to you. Because you have made yourself present and available to Baba, Baba makes himself present and available to you. And so today, if there is renunciation, it's no big deal. It just simply means I am free. If I want liberation today, let me let go of my likes and dislikes and my preferences. And if I can do that, mukti is mine today, not in the future, but here and now today. And of course, if today I've been able to liberate myself from all of these preferences and have renunciation of my comfort zones, then in the final moments, drama says, it's time to go. Baba says, come child, and I'll fly to Baba. Because the reality is that if today I'm stable in my comfort zones and I think that I need all of this, what's drama going to be showing me in the next little while? Natural disasters, that's not just a prediction from Shivaba anymore, that's a prediction from the scientists, that's a prediction from the UN. Expect huge amount of climate change to happen in the next few months and years to come. In London, we've had the coldest March that we've ever had for, I don't know, 50 years or something, 60 years, something like that, they were saying. And yesterday on the plane, I picked up a paper and it had photographs of what it was like in March 2012 and what it was like in March 2013. March 2012, there were women in bikinis on the beach. And on the same beach, March 2013, the same beach, and the beach is deserted and there's wind, and so this woman is wearing this thick coat and she's trying to hold an umbrella, but the wind is blowing her umbrella. March 2012, there's a drought, and March 2013, there's floods. And so there were like five different photographs. They must have the photographs from last year, of course. So five different photographs of March 2012 and five different photographs of March 2013. And so climate change isn't just something that Baba is telling us in the Murali, that the earthquakes will come, the floods will come, and all this will happen. But it's now. It's happening right now. And so drama has an interesting way of doing things. If I learn a lesson anyway, then that's my fortune. I've learned my lesson before the exam, and when the exam comes, I'm fine. No problem, because I've passed the test already. But if I haven't taught myself the lesson, then drama comes not just to test me, but also as my teacher. And so drama makes sure that I either learn the lesson or I fail. And so where do I want to be? And so the subject of renunciation in those early days, again, it's interesting because the days of Karachi, it was an internal renunciation that they experienced. Whatever it is, they did with their heart out of love for Baba. And then when they came to Abu, those who hadn't learned the lesson of renunciation, do you know what happened to them? They left. In Abu, the tree shook, and those who hadn't learned the lesson of being able to be detached from food, being able to be detached from comforts. It was after the war, the climate was different, there was poverty, and there was no food available. There were no medicines available. And so you either stayed because of your love for Baba, or you remembered your family, you remembered your home, and off you went. And so, following in the footsteps of the father. And for me, out of the gathering that's seated here now, I imagine it's only Mirabhan and myself who actually met Brahma Baba. I don't think anybody else did. And so sometimes when we talk about following in the footsteps of Brahma Baba, maybe it seems a little bit abstract, but I see that the ones who followed in Baba's footsteps are the ones who are still in front of us today. Daddy asks us this question in class, why is Baba still kept me here now? But it's a question I ask myself, because I've seen Daddy nearly leave about 6 times. Really, I remember the dates, I remember the scenes, and I thought, it's time for Daddy to go, Daddy's going. And miracle, and she'd come back, and she'd come back with renewed energy. That's the interesting thing. Not only did she come back, but she came back with fresh energy to do even more than she was doing before. That has happened every single time, every single time. And so I asked myself the question, why has Baba kept Daddy still here? And for me, the answer is very, very clear. And that is, we need to have a living example in front of us today. And I mean, not just Daddy Janki, but also Daddy Gulzar, and also Daddy Ratan Moini, all the Dadis who are still here, but you can now count them on the fingers of one hand. At least earlier you could count them, last year you could count them on the fingers of 2 hands. And now, just 1 hand. And so why has Baba kept the Dadi still here? To be an example for us. So that the idea of following in the footsteps of the father is not just an abstract idea, but it's a very real, practical thing that we can see in front of our eyes. And so the subject of renunciation and the stories that you've heard from Dadi, from Dadi Gulzar, I mean, just remember Dadi Gulzar, and the faith and the courage to leave Madhuban just simply because Baba said, go to Lucknow, meet the chief minister. You heard that story, haven't you? And just her courage and faith. And off she goes. And she sits and waits and waits and waits until the chief minister actually gives them a place to stay. And so the power of renunciation is an indication of my power of faith. And if there's an inability to renounce, to me it's an indication that there's a lack of faith somewhere, that I haven't yet let go of that. I've spoken about preferences and comforts, but I also want to speak about now the whole subject of ego. And it's a subject that Baba dealt with a lot in the Murali on Sunday. And in that, Baba spoke about the royal forms of ego. And the one particular royal form of ego where I think it's mercy and compassion, but in fact it's my attachment. But generally, Baba said, the form that Maya comes in, the door that Maya enters through, is I. The word I. And letting go of I, not so easy. Baba knows that. This is why every single Sakar Murali talks about soul consciousness, not just remembrance of God, but every single sakar murli talks about soul consciousness. Now I have a question. I hear the murli every day, and as teachers, maybe many of you have the fortune of reading the murli to others every day. And every day Baba is saying, let go of I, let go of the identity of this. And that renunciation still hasn't happened, because proof that Maya finds a way to still come in, and there's still the ego of I that comes in some form or another. And maybe the renunciation that I have to let go of at this point in our role as Baba's instruments is approval, or where there is not just approval, but where there's appreciation, where there's respect. And if I don't get that approval, I don't get that respect, I don't get that appreciation, there's a whole string of waste thoughts that come in. Waste thoughts is another subject that's been coming up for how long? From the time of the 70s. When you hear the Avyakt Murli of the 70s, Baba's talking about waste thoughts and that. So from that time, Baba's been drawing our attention to this subject. And the Dadis heard the Avyakt Murlis. And what did the Dadis do when they heard the Avyakt Murlis? They practiced what Baba was saying. And we've been hearing Avyakt Murlis from the time we came. The fresh Avyakt Murlis, the revision course Avyakt Murlis. So nobody can say, but we missed out on anything. Why we've got the revision course Avyakt Murlis is so that nobody can complain and say, we missed out. So we get all that information also. And waste thoughts, Baba's been taking up that subject of waste thoughts in such an intense way from that very time. And the waste thoughts that Baba's instruments, teachers get, I think it's connected very much with this. The approval, the appreciation, and the respect, or the lack of it. And maybe it's just our perception. Maybe people do appreciate us, but they don't go around telling us, you're wonderful, you're wonderful, you're wonderful. And so when they don't tell us that, there's a question mark. Was that okay? Was my class okay? Do they like it? Do they like me? Do they not like me? 1,000 waste thoughts come because we are seeking approval. And yet, in soul consciousness, connected with Baba, I know that if what I've shared is from my heart, and it's that which is from Baba, and not from my manmat, then of course it's going to be useful for others. It's going to be beneficial for others. And if it's not, then why not? It's something that I've mixed in within my own mind. And so, don't need to seek approval. I remember one particular very sweet meeting with Brahma Baba, and Didi Manmohini. She was very, very close to Baba. She was Baba's friend, and she taught Dadi Janki how to be Baba's friend, not just to think about Baba as God the Supreme, but to make Baba her friend. And she used to go to Baba's room after Murali and have chit-chat with Baba. And sometimes she would pull a few of us along with her. Not every day, but sometimes. And so one particular time, she pulled me and a couple of others along with her into Baba's room. Baba's room anyway was very tiny at that point. so not many people could fit in. But Baba was sitting on the bed, and the same bed that you see there now, and she's saying to Baba, "Baba, the Murali was beautiful today." And Baba looked at her and said, "But it's exactly the same as it was last Kalpa." Yes, it's Shiv Baba, but we know from the Murali when we study it, it's not just Shiv Baba, but it's also Brahma Baba together with Shiv Baba. And so was Baba seeking approval? Baba wasn't seeking approval, because Baba's speaking the truth, and Baba's speaking from his experience. "Daddy Janki, does she wait for us to say, 'Daddy, that was a beautiful class. Daddy, that was a class that touched my heart'? She'll just say, 'Well, it was Baba's Gyan. All I was doing was sharing Baba's Gyan.'" And so my point that when there is that dignity and self-respect, then you don't seek approval on an external level. Your heart is the witness. Sometimes Baba gives this expression, it's a very beautiful expression: "My own conscience and my own heart is the best witness of all to tell me whether things are okay or if things are not quite okay. Both things my own heart will be able to tell me." And so my point that letting go of ego and all the things that come up in royal ways of Maya, now that renunciation is still a journey that all of us are still on. Many aspects of ego, I'm sure, but I specifically wanted to touch upon that because it's so connected with how I see myself, rather than thinking about how others see me. But to change the way in which I see myself, or even the way in which others see me, by asking myself the question, how does Baba see me? And today again, Baba's Murali. Just imagine God sharing the title Master God with us. Now, if you were to tell the Bhagats that I am Master God, they'd really think you'd lost your head. But Baba's sharing it in a very specific way. Who is God? God is the merciful one. Am I as merciful as God is merciful? This was the point that Baba was making today. When you have mercy for all, what is the quality of your awareness at that moment? If I've been able to change my sanskars and just simply have sanskars of mercy and compassion like God has, then yes, the child of God, Master God in that sense. And then my sanskars of mercy and compassion too, they will be what is revealed and what will be visible. So renunciation, following in the Father's footsteps, am I able to have any percentage of the renunciation that Baba had to have? Baba's renunciation was of what today would be considered a huge amount of wealth, and not even to some charitable foundation that carried his name, but to a group of young Kumaris who didn't even have a bank account. And so faith. You can see why I say that renunciation stems from faith. When there's faith, then renunciation easy. And so Shiv Baba gives a signal, and that faith, and Brahma Baba's renunciation. Amazing. But Brahma Baba's renunciation even of his reputation and position, and none of us fit in within that category of where we had the approval of the whole of our community, and everybody loved us and everybody thought that we were great, and we had to renounce all of that. So we're not even tested 1% in the same way that Baba was tested. And yet still today Baba is saying, follow in the footsteps of the Father. The renunciation of the Dadis. I'll tell you a very practical story. Some of you know it, some of you may not. When London Center started, it was very, very basic, very, very simple, because we didn't have any funds. We had 12 good-hearted people, or people with good intentions, and the center starts. And Madhuban approves. Madhuban sends Dr. Nirmala there first, and after 8 months she goes to Africa on tour. Then Dadi Ratanmoyni comes. Dadi Ratanmoyni was beautiful family, very good family, 11 years old when she surrendered, and the love and the comfort that Baba gave everyone, but especially the children in the yagya. You've heard Dadi Gulzar's stories about that, how Baba treated them as princes and princesses in Kali Yuga, but Baba treated them in that way in the early days of the yagya. And then later on, yes, the period of hardship and all of that, but still, you know, they were with Baba and Mama, so they were up in the clouds and no problem. She comes to London and she's sharing a house with people who are upstairs who are making fish every day. And she had never been in an environment which was not vegetarian. And she's smelling the fish every day as soon as she comes out of the room into the corridor, because they are upstairs. And she's sharing the bathroom with a family. The renunciation in which she did not even think that it was renunciation. If today we don't get our physical comforts, we think it's a big deal. Dadi Ratanmoyni stayed in that situation from October 72 through until January 74. And not once did I ever hear her complain. And today when she shares her story, she won't tell you about that, because it wasn't even renunciation. She did it for love for Baba, she did it for love for service. Dadi Janki, when she comes, and it was the same situation for Dadi Ratanmoyni, but the room in which she's sleeping from 1974 through to 1979 is a room that's damp, in which there's not even proper heating. There's a little gas fire, and so the smoke of the gas makes her cough, and it's a tiny little fire in this room, and it's a meter, and you put in what used to be called shillings. You had little coins that were called shillings, and you put in those. And ask Dadi about the days of Tennyson Road, and she'll just talk to you about the tapasya. She'll talk to you about the joy of Baba's new children coming, and the joy and the intoxication of sharing the gyan. Really, very few of us sitting here understand what is even physical renunciation, let alone the emotional renunciation, in which for 4 years Dadi Janki did not come to Madhuban to meet Baba, but she simply had her own personal connection with Baba in the subtle region, on the subtle level. She didn't have a single person who was her equal to talk to about what it is she was experiencing. Her joy, there was nothing else that was in her experience, but even to share the joy that she was experiencing of the beauty of Baba's knowledge. Today Dadi Gulsar and Dadi Janki spend half an hour together every day when they're both in the same place, whether it's Gyan Srivar or whether it's Shantivan, because they enjoy sharing as equals. When I think about the complaints we make, I wonder what happened to that spirit of renunciation. But of course, the fruit of renunciation, the fortune of the joy of being in Baba's heart. I loved it when Baba told the people in the tent that day that Murali, people who'd been sleeping in the tents, Baba asked to see them, and then apparently most of them were still outside. And what Baba said to them was, you weren't sleeping alone, Baba was with you. And one of the sisters came back from the February meeting with Baba in Michigan. What she shared was interesting. She said that she'd specially been thinking about a time when it wouldn't be too busy in Madhuban, and she thought that February was generally less busy than March, and so she decided to come in February. And of course that was a time when it was 25,000 people, visitors, and then plus all the others, it became 28,000 people. And so it was very, very full. So the intention wasn't fulfilled, it became different. But she said that she and a few others with her had decided to go on a tour and not just look at the tents, but peep inside one of the tents. And she said that they peeped inside one of the tents, and there were women sitting on the floor, and they were singing. They were singing. Can you imagine their joy and happiness in which they were singing? And she said that it made her realize that Baba gives you the fruit of your renunciation immediately by giving you the feeling of his presence and by giving you a great deal of happiness. Again, I let you think about, if you think about the thermometer of renunciation and the results of, you see the Hindi words are beautiful, tyag, renunciation, bhagya, fortune. So it's not even fortune in Satyug, who knows what that'll be, whatever that is. But my renunciation today and the fortune that Baba gives me immediately is something that you can experience or you can see. It's absolutely true, it's a fact. So if I haven't learnt about renunciation by hearing the stories of Baba or by seeing the dadis, and I'm talking about the dadis who you know about, so if I haven't yet learned that, then it's an important lesson I learn now while the facilities are available and I have time. Later, drama will push me into learning that lesson, and if I haven't learned it, drama. That's all Baba will be able to say at that point. Even Baba won't be able to say anything more than that. And so, following in the footsteps of the father, it's a tall order. In bhakti they say soul is God, and yet they never think about what that actually means. And now I'm not even talking about the soul is God or the soul can become like God. I'm talking about the soul becoming like the dadis, because the dadis are the ones who are the example who became like the father. And so I can see the gap. I'm talking about myself, and I'm seeing the need to be able to fulfill that gap. And how much time do I have? Well, the age of the dadis is telling us something, isn't it? How much longer? And does the yagya continue after the dadis? I can't give you an answer, if Baba hasn't given us an answer, how can a human being give an answer to that? But it's an indication. Last time, again, watching Baba on screen, sitting far away, but yet Baba's presence is so strong, you don't feel that you're far away. I was curious about this man who was sitting right in the front next to the senior brothers, because that's a position of great privilege, you know. Who sits next to the senior brothers? Not many. And so I thought, well, it's some VIP, I didn't know who he was. And then afterwards, of course, at the end, Nirvibhai announced to Baba that this was this person called Anna Hazari, who's been the leader of the anti-corruption campaign in a very big way, a major way. And how many of you had heard that name before you heard it that night? A few. But in fact, his name hit the headlines across the world a couple of years ago when he started this anti-corruption campaign in India. And I thought to myself, the people who Baba would say at the mics, people whose voices can be heard across the world, they're coming to Madhuban already. We're not talking about next year or the year after when the mics will come to Madhuban. This person is a mic. And here he is, sitting in front of Baba, no fanfare, no nothing, he isn't even called up on the stage. He's just sitting there in the audience. And so the quality of service in Bharat, how much further can it reach? It's reached the top. And a lot of detail about that that I don't need to tell you about. And then the age of the dadis, again, that's telling me something. The state of the world, that's again telling me something. And so where am I in terms of the thermometer of renunciation? Tapasya. And again, I loved Baba's Murali on Sunday. I mean, we usually say that about every Murali, don't we? Whichever Murali has touched our hearts, we say, this was the special Murali. And yes, that Murali was really very powerful and touching the heart. And in this particular Murali, Baba spoke about Karma Yoga and becoming Karmatit. But especially that whole subject of tapasya. And Baba saying that it's not a question of saying to Baba, okay Baba, I'm going to stop doing, or even Baba saying to me, okay child, I'll free you from all your karmic responsibilities and you just sit and do tapasya for a month or even 2 months, will you become karmatit? And of course Baba's point was that it's not just sitting the body down, but it's a question of sitting the mind with God, keeping the mind where it should be. And so tapasya, yes, I know that I need to have that powerful, powerful, intense stage in which it's the fire of yoga and my sanskars are changing. And no matter how much anybody says they've done yoga, but unless sanskars have changed and that divinity is visible, and the proof that sanskars have changed, however much I may think I have changed, is my own story. But there has to be proof that sanskars have changed, and sanskars are now the sanskars of divinity. And if the divine sanskars of that purity and joy and peace and truth are not yet visible, who's going to believe you when you said, yes, I have very good yoga? Not even Baba. Sometimes Baba says in the Sakar Murali, you know, the child says, I have 18 hours of yoga a day, and Baba doesn't believe it. I need to have proof, my sanskars of divinity. And so that's the tapasya of one type. But the proof, another proof of that tapasya is surely that as I do karma, my connection is very visibly with God. And if I'm doing things out of love for God, then yes, then I know that my tapasya is real. I love the Murli for another reason, this Sunday's Murli. Because if you're talking about the subject of karmatit, then karmatit means, firstly, understanding the philosophy of karma. And in terms of understanding the philosophy of karma, yes, all the subtlety of karma and what is sin, what is charity. And today Baba is saying people don't even understand what is sin anymore. That's the truth, isn't it? Whether in Bharat or outside Bharat, people will do things for the sake of convenience and then say, oh well, we had to because of X, Y, Z. They won't even know that it's not right and it's sin. But to do real good karma, that's only Baba's children who understand about that. But more than that, the power of words. Words are karma. And so where Baba says, are my words filled not just with truth, but are they also filled with divinity, with spirituality, which means they'll be filled with sweetness. And if my words are not filled with divinity and spirituality, then they may be very true, but there's a reaction of that also. So physical karma brings a reaction, but my words also bring a huge amount of reaction. And so what is the reaction of my words? Is it of pain? And if it's causing pain to others, then somewhere along the line it's going to cause me pain too. And then I wonder, well, how come people aren't cooperating with me? How come people are not ready to support me? But what has been the quality of my words to them? And according to drama, the rest of the kalpa, you do karma and you get the results of it next birth. Usually, it's not instant results. And the speciality of Sangam Yuga, any karma you do, very quickly there's an instant rebound of that, which is very good because it means that we're in the business of settlement. It's not more and more accumulation, because with the whole of the copper age and iron age was accumulation, but now it's very fast return and so very quick to get the result. And so my words of support, of spirituality, of comfort, and when I'm in need of the same, that's what's going to come back to me. Otherwise, what's going to happen? It's not going to come back. There'll be other things that'll come back. And nobody has to tell me, I told you so. But that is the reality of what will happen. But even more so, the subtlety of karma in terms of my thoughts. My thoughts bring a return. And my thoughts bring a return to me, but also my thoughts reach others and they bring back a return from them. If sometimes I wonder why the attitude of some isn't healthy, but let me ask myself the question, what's my attitude towards them? And so, another thing that's even more important than just the quality of thoughts, what is the intention behind my thoughts? And again, you can see that karma, whatever karma it is we did in bhakti, but if it was with the intention of name and fame for myself, I've done good karma and I've received name and fame. finish, end of karma, no fruit. I've eaten the fruit already. But that applies equally in Sangam Yoga. I've done karma, and it's good karma, but my intention has been that there should be recognition. Okay, so the recognition comes. End of story. What's my accumulation for Satyug? Zero, nothing. So the whole subject of intention behind karma, my motivation behind karma, and my motivation behind my thinking. I'm thinking something. Okay, great. So if my karma is done with the intention simply of being able to come closer to God myself and bring others closer to God, then surely that is my tapasya. Even as I do actions, I'm coming closer to God, I'm bringing others closer to God, and that's it. It's my tapasya. Again, if I see the timetable of the dadis, from morning through till night, it's service, service, service. But the quality of service and the intention of service and the consciousness of service, it's this which makes their life one of tapasya. And what we try and do is, no, this is service, 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 and this is now my time for yoga. And now, because I've done so much service, I'm too exhausted, I can't do tapasya. You can see that it's a little bit of a way in which Baba said that we move off the straight line and go off into another direction. And so I found Sundays really much, 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 much food for thought. But in particular, this whole subject of following the Father. So Saturday we heard follow the Father, and then Sunday we're hearing this particular morally. And so it's interesting how in drama things come together to help us look at ourselves very deeply, not just understand things very deeply, but look at ourselves very deeply and see what is it that we want to do. And really the big question, the father and mother reached their karmatit stage how many years ago? And where am I now? How close or how far am I from the karmatit stage? And so the checking point, am I still accumulating karma, or am I settling karma, or am I filling myself with good karma? So following in the Father's footsteps, the renunciation, that's the big one. The tapasya then becomes very easy and automatic, and service will happen as a very natural outcome of all of this. Okay, let's have Baba's remembrance so that then we can be with our awareness wide open, our hearts wide open to hear from Daddy. Om Shanti.